Good morning. I will be honest, I'm a little nervous. I don't know, I'll just say, as we were getting ready and as we were coming here this morning, you know, Braden has a way to kind of get me riled up, I guess, a little bit. And as he was telling me, you know, Dad, this is kind of a big deal this morning that you got to stand up in front of everybody. And as he's going, he's making me more and more nervous. So I got a ton of thoughts in my mind, and I just want to start off by, I want to thank our brothers who did this song up here. I really, in all sincerity, I want to thank everyone who shared their talents with us this morning. But I specifically, I asked these brothers if they would deliver, if they would share this song with us. And I'm going to read the words of that last verse, and I would encourage you to dig in your hymnals and find that song. And you know, I tried to research that song, and I tried to look for, you know, what is the message within that song? You know, there's tons of songs that you can go out on the internet, and you can find all kinds of story and history and all that. It's not about the story. It's not about the history. It's about the song and the praise and the glory that it gives to our Heavenly Father. Guys, I really appreciate your sharing that with us this morning. Okay, so how many of you are traditionalists? When it comes to Christmas, how many of you have that traditional meal that you just, you know that that's the part of Christmas? I'm looking forward to this traditional meal. Go ahead and give me a share. Show your hands. I knew my Aunt Melissa would raise her hand, right? It runs in our family. It's a part of us. One of the first times that the tradition changed for me around the holidays was, I think Michelle and I were dating. I don't know if we may have been engaged at the time, but I went with Michelle and her family up to Wisconsin for Christmas dinner, never thinking about what would be going on or what would be served. And lo and behold, the Stark family, they served ham. You know, I grew up and turkey was the traditional meal for Thanksgiving and for Christmas, and here I go to Michelle's family up in Wisconsin, and we had ham. Really threw off my whole meal, even to the point where my mother-in-law knew that it threw me off, to the point where when we got back home, she made me another turkey dinner. Definitely, I know my mother-in-law loves me. But, you know, I talk about traditions, and I actually thought about it as I was driving here this morning. If you came for a traditional sermon, you know, scriptures that are read out of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or where it tells the Christmas story, I'm sorry, but I'm going to tell the story out of Philippians, right? When you think of the Christmas story, you think of Philippians, right? I'm going to go to Philippians, the fourth chapter, and I'm going to spend most of my thoughts and my comments around it. I want to start off with Philippians, the second chapter, actually, and I'm going to start at the ninth verse to just kind of set the foundation and what I want to try to share this morning. So Philippians 2, Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, I really want us to think about, and if you could take, I'll probably say this multiple times, but if you could take a few things away from this, one of the things that I would ask you to take from this sermon is, you know, recognize that we're in a season of joy, we're in a season of peace. But also recognize that we're in a nation and we're in a time that, you know, we have much to fear and we have much to be worried about. I want to talk about that worry and I want to talk about that fear and I want to talk about that concern, but recognize ultimately, where is our relationship? Where does that peace come from? Where does that love and that compassion come from? And ultimately, it comes from Christ. Again, in the ninth verse, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You know, I want to call unto you this day, and I want to engage with you. You know, the traditional message is that Christ was born. There was a purpose. There was a reason. Sorry, I get excited. But recognize that purpose and that reason is for us. And so our opportunity today, and the thing that I want to call you to today, and the thing that I want to challenge you with, is recognize what is your relationship with Christ. How are we engaging, and how are we connecting, and what are we doing to connect with Christ? Recognize the gift that was given. Recognize how great it would have been if Christ wouldn't have had to come to this earth and go through the same pain and suffering and the sacrifice that he made. But he did that for us. And so our call today is to recognize that, you know, we have trials, we have temptations, we have challenges that we face, but we have Christ. You know, I read something the other day, and it talked about, you know, this time of year and this worry and this concern that we have. And it says that, you know, roughly 18% of the American population, roughly 42 million people, suffer from anxiety and disorder. Suffer from that fear and that concern. Now, everybody's looking up here at me and saying, oh boy, this is a really joyful message, right? But recognize where we have that peace. Recognize where we have that comfort. So I want to go to Philippians, the fourth chapter, and I think it tells an awesome story. And I'm going to read through, and I may jump around a little bit, but ultimately I'm going to try to start at Philippians 4. And so if you're gauging time, you know that I'm not a long speaker, but you know that as we get through these verses, you'll kind of know how we're progressing this morning. Philippians 4, and what's going on? What's going on at this time? Who's in prison at the time that Philippians 4 is being written? Somebody say it louder. Paul. Paul is in prison. Recognize that, you know, if you keep in mind as you go through the things that he's saying, you know, recognize that Paul is in prison at the time, and he's writing to who? The Philippians, the Philippi, right? Or the people in this portion of the world, these people that when he was traveling and delivering a message, I think it was like back in Acts, the 16th chapter or somewhere around that time, where he's going around and to the nation and he's preaching and he's teaching. And these people that were there, they engaged with him. They connected with him. And he's got a love and he's got a compassion for these people. And he says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. So here is Paul in prison and he's reaching out to these people and he's telling them, you know, stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. My brothers and sisters, this morning I call unto you and say, stand fast in the Lord. Recognize that we have trials, we have temptations, and we have challenges. But our opportunity today is to renew that strength in the Lord. We saw the people that stood up here and delivered their talents and shared those with us. They gave those up unto the Lord. He continues on, I beseech Eudaeus and beseech Syntech. I don't know if I'm definitely not saying that right, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. You know, recognize that these two people, what he's reaching out and Paul is saying unto these two people, he's saying, you've got disagreements, you got challenges, and you got issues between you. And he goes on in the third verse and says, I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. You know, recognize that this is a part of the church. It could be no different than us here today. This morning, one of the guys I work with sent me a text, and it was an article out of one of the magazines or whatever it may be. You know, and it talked about things within our world, things within our nation that we could worry about. If you watch the stock market, what has happened recently? Bad, right? If you've watched what's going on in our federal government? What's going on in our federal government right now? Shutdown. Bad. If you watch what's going on in interest rates and what impact that has on, what's happening with it? Bad. Going the wrong direction. Recognize that there are things that, you know, you look at me and there's people that can look at me and say, why is Jeff delivering this message? You know, I really think that David Rudd could have done a much better job today. You look up front and you say, Jeff standing up front, boy, that's bad. Right? Recognize that we have people around us that, you know, we say we love, but do we truly love? Do we truly have that compassion? You know, when Paul is reaching out to the people within the church and he's saying, you know, there are these two women that are a part of the church and they're in disagreement. They're at odds. They're at different sides of the world. Somebody yoke fellow, somebody that's equally yoked with us in Christ. Join together and engage. You know, if I broke this chapter up into three different sections, I would tell you they would be engage. Engage with people around you. Engage with your brothers and sisters. You know, David challenges us every week that he stands up in front. He says, you know, we are to be the light. It's not just engaging with the people that are sitting in this room. I love each and every one of you. But recognize the responsibility that we have. If we don't love our brother, how can we love those others around us? And we are called to do that. And so my challenge to us today is we have to engage. We have to love. If you don't like me, engage with me and talk to me. Continuing on, you know, and he says, you know, that Paul is reaching out to these people, and I like that word yoke fellow because of that alignment and that pull together. But ultimately, you know, recognize, while I can look at the economy and I can see the challenges, while I can look at the people around me, you know, my dad drives me crazy sometimes. I know, my dad's going to be surprised by that. Right, but recognize the love that our parents have for us. Recognize the love that we have for our children. And can we look around this room and recognize the same love that we have? You know, we have marriages that are struggling. We have disagreements among brothers and sisters. We have challenges amongst family members. This is the season, and this is the time to set that right, to re-engage and reconnect. If we can't get along with our loved ones, we can't get along with our family members, how can we get along with the people outside of this room? And it is our calling, and it is our responsibility. Continuing on, he says in the fourth verse, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Can we rejoice today? We should, and we absolutely will rejoice. You know, my encouragement to each of you as you go to that Christmas dinner or as you go spend time with your family, forget about the struggles. And focus on that enjoyment that we have, that enjoyment that comes from our Lord. You know, when it comes to relationships, you know, recognize the reality. When you see me, you see the happy, jovial person, right? When my wife sees me at home at night, you know, my wife is a very patient person with me. I'm a difficult person. People that I work with, I'm a difficult person. But recognize how thankful that I am that I have those people in my life that can challenge me, push me, prod me. You know, hang around my cousin David Rudd and you can't not be happy and jovial. Right, Becky? Surround ourselves by people that can do that in our lives. Encourage our brothers and sisters. All right, continuing on. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made. I want to go back to, I want to skip back to the second verse. And there's a reason for this, why I'm doing it here and I'm doing it now. But in the second verse, it talks about the word beseech. What does the word beseech mean? Anybody? Say it out loud. What's that? Plead, beg, okay, absolutely. Implore, entreat, ask. So again, I beseech us today. I want to go to, and I want to, again, I want to focus on, I'm going to skip to Luke, the sixth chapter. As you're turning to Luke, the sixth chapter, I want to read again the last verse that our brothers sang. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace. Hail the Son of Righteousness. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. Mild he lays his glory by, born that man no more may die. Born to raise the Son of Earth, born to give them second birth. Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. You know, and I recognize, you know, the thing that I want to really focus on for us here is that in as we read that that word beseech, that implore, that begging, that entreating, that asking, you know, recognize that which we have to come unto is Christ. I'm going to read Luke, the sixth chapter, starting at the 27th verse. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. I'm going to skip down to the 30th verse. Give to every man that asketh of thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would that men should do unto you, should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. For if ye love them which love you, what think have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And if ye do good to them which do good to you, what think have ye? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them of whom ye hope to receive, what think have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your rewards shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful as your father also is merciful. You know, and I share this because I want to. I'm going to take my glasses off because I got new glasses, and I look out and I can't see you, and then I look down and I can see. Why do I share this message today? Why is this important to us? It's Christmas, a time of remembrance, a time of giving, a time of caring, a time of loving, a time of recognizing, but also recognize it's a time of despair. It's a time of fear. It's a time of concern. And I want to challenge us here today. Ultimately, what I want to challenge us with is, where is our strength? Our strength is in Christ. You know, I have things that you know, we all have things that are going on in our lives, and it creates concern. One of my brothers earlier this week sent me a text and said that his company was bought out. And when he sent this text, he was asking me for the name or a contact number of another brother in the church and proactively really going out and looking for a job. And, you know, I think about that, you know, and as those type of things that are going on in my life, you know, what happens naturally in our life is what do? We worry, right? A concern is happening, something is going on in our life, and we worry. But you know, it takes the exact same energy to worry as it does to pray. Do you believe me? Absolutely. Right? And even in my own time, you know, in my own life, when I have those times that I'm worrying about something, I fret about it, I think about it, I go on about it, to the point where, you know, it just bugs me and I become a grump to those people around me. We have got to figure out how to turn that over to the Lord. And through our relationship with the Lord, we can and we will recognize again, why does this apply to the Christmas message? Because Christ was born for us, for you. For each and every one of us here, that we have that comforter, we have that strength, we have that ability to call on him. I want to continue on in the fifth verse. Let your moderation be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. You know, I was listening to a guy earlier this week, and he talked about a study that was done, and it talked about worry. And he said that there was a study that was done, and it followed a group of people. And in this research, they were people that were worried about whatever. And as they followed them, and they followed them through their worries, it said, and I was kind of surprised by this, and you can look it up. It said 92% of the people, of the people that were studied, that were watched, 92% of the things that they were worried about never happened. And it said 8% of the things that happened, they had absolutely no control over. And recognize, you know, and why that applies here, you know, is Christ came to remove this worry. He came to remove this fear. But, you know, we cannot do it on our own. When my brother sent a text to me and he said, you know, I'm there's something going on with my job, you know. His response after we text back and forth was, you know, I just pray that the Lord's will be done. How awesome is that? I'm not boosting up that brother. I'm boosting up that it is that which we have. We have that opportunity that the Lord's will be done. We can look back over the year and we can see many miracles and many blessings that have happened. One of our brothers that are sitting here today, you know, I saw him just a few weeks ago in the hospital, and he looked bad. He knows he looked bad. But clearly the Lord blessed him. And the Lord can bless each and every one of us. And he wants to. But recognize we have to engage. We have to connect. We have to pray. I read a quote, it said, worry is life-sucking. The origin of the word worry is from, I'm going to spell it, W-Y-R-G-A-N. That's the origin of the word worry. And it's called, it's ultimately meaning to strangle. Worry is to strangle us. You know, in Matthew 6, the 11th verse, 6th chapter of the 11th verse, it's the Lord's Prayer, and it says, give us this day our daily bread. God is wonderful. Christ is great. Christ Jesus came to this earth that we don't have to worry. Give us this day our daily bread, today's daily bread. Continuing on in the 10th verse in the Philippians 4, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. You know, again, recognize Paul was in prison. He's saying that, hey, whatever is going to happen to me will happen, and I'm okay with that. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. I love that verse, but you know, it's overused so many times in our world today. You know, it doesn't mean that I can become a super athlete because I have the strength of Christ through me. But recognize what it says. I can do all things through Christ. Whatever my lot, whatever my plan, whatever that which will face us, I can do all things through Christ which strengthened me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Skipping down to the 18th verse, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Euphrates the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren which are with me greet you. All the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. And ultimately, that is my prayer for us again today. Is that, you know, my hope is that we can rejoice. Why does this apply to a Christmas message? On Sunday morning, the morning before Christmas, Philippians, the fourth chapter, how crazy is he to share this with us today? But recognize, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Recognize the grace of Jesus is with you. Our brother and sister who brought their child up to be blessed today, how awesome of an administration, how awesome of an opportunity that is. The Lord will work. The Lord is great. The Lord is with us. But recognize it's a two-way street. We have to engage. We have to connect. We have to look past our petty differences and recognize that, you know, if I disagree with you, let's talk about it. I remember a time, and I'm gonna tell a couple stories a couple times. One was where when I told my mother-in-law that I was moving her daughter away. My mother-in-law was not happy with me. My mother-in-law we struggled with just talking to each other. So finally one day I said, Diane, we're gonna go to breakfast. Diane knows the story. We didn't get past getting out of the car, sitting in the parking lot at the restaurant. But how thankful am I that I have a mother-in-law or I have my parents that love me enough to forgive me for the things that I do wrong. My little brother and I, you know, it wasn't that long ago, a couple years ago, I don't know, we had a disagreement about something. Finally one day, I don't know if it was Jason, if it was me, but we just said, hey, we're going to go sit down and talk. I'm thankful that I had that opportunity. I'm sorry that I had that disagreement. You know, the humanness in me is weak. But the love of our Lord is strong. That we have to look around us and we have to see that, you know what, maybe I don't really like the way Cody Fan shaves his head. But I'm okay with that. I love Cody. Recognize that, you know, maybe I do things or I say things differently. It's okay. You know, no matter what I say, no matter how wrong I may be, my mom's still going to love me. Do we have that same love for our brothers and sisters? Do we have that same love? You know, I'm often reminded, and I know I've shared it up here before, you know, I drive like a madman. I know that I cut people off, and I know that I'm a horrible driver when I do that. What example am I setting? What example are we setting to those around us? Is there a smile on your face today? For there is joy. There is greatness in the Lord. You know, my encouragement would be and if I could offer this one last thought. My challenge for you, you know, recognize that, you know, there's a purpose. Christ was born. There was a purpose in that. Christ died on the cross. There was a purpose in that. And recognize our challenge for us here today is there's a purpose in our life. It is not to just go through this life without engaging and connecting with our Heavenly Father. And so my challenge to you today is walk away from here engaging with the Lord, engaging with your brothers and sisters, engaging with your family. If you have differences, if you have aught, now is the time to set that right. And then when you go from that, now is the time to engage with the Lord. Open up your scriptures every day. Get down on your knees. It takes the same exact amount of energy to get down on your knees and pray as it does to worry. And my hope and my prayer for each one of us is that we engage. We engage with each other. We engage with the Lord. And that we look upon this season as the joy and the beauty that it gives to us. But recognize it's one day. And it's a step into the next day and a step into the next day that our life continues on. And our life continues on engaging and connecting through the Lord. My hopes and my prayers are with you. I wish each of you a very Merry Christmas. Thank you.